Alabama in Nashville to take on the Vanderbilt Commodores. Vandy coming off a bye week. Alabama, of course, coming off the big, big win over the Georgia Bulldogs in Tuscaloosa. I'm going to do this matchup this way. I'm going to give three predictions for this game, and then you kind of tell me where you think I'm going or if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah.
But my first prediction for Saturday in Nashville is that Alabama will not rush for 496 yards and six touchdowns in the game, because the last time Alabama went to Vanderbilt, remember that, 2017?
I do.
59-0 win. Alabama ran for 496 and six, had three or four running backs. I mean, that was Damian Harris. Yeah. That was Josh Jacobs. That was Najee Harris. Brian Robinson was a young back that got some run. You think about the running backs on some of those Alabama teams, but they combined for that massive total. You know, so I don't think that's going to happen, but kind of the concern I have for Vanderbilt defensively in this game is that the last time out, as we talked about earlier, Nate Noel, the Missouri running back, gashed Vanderbilt throughout that game. And it wasn't anything fancy in watching it. It was zone runs, just give it to him. And Missouri's offensive line went to work against that Vanderbilt front seven. So you know what there's been in the wake of last Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, because it was such a quarterback-centric game with Jalen Milroe, I've heard from some Alabama fans, they're not happy. They want more touches for Justice Haynes. And also, to me, it shouldn't matter. If you run for nearly 180 like Alabama did against that Georgia defense, I don't care who's running it.
Absolutely not.
As long as you run for 180.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some Alabama fans. They want more Justice Haynes. They want more Jam Miller. So I think you're going to get that this week after seeing what Nate Noel did to this Vanderbilt defense the last time out.
Yeah, and look, it's a long season, and I think they'll be able to do that too. And the stat, back up what you were saying, the stat that really stuck out to me with this offensive line did not allow a sack against Georgia. I mean, that tells you so much that they have – I'm not saying they've solved everything. I'm just saying they've been able to get the pieces of the puzzle in the right place, and they have played well. Look, you and I have talked about this for years. And we've labeled this a character game. And what we mean by that is you have a big win. You're number one. Everybody is telling you how great they are. Now, this is one of the real things that Nick Saban was able to do and keep this team focused after big wins. And it's going to be very interesting to see the same here against Vanderbilt in front of, I believe, help me on this, I believe the stadium, when I heard this week, seats roughly now about 35,000 because of the construction.
Yeah.
And Trav, how many of those will be Alabama fans? 28 to 30?
Yeah.
Probably.
Easy. The Vanderbilt ticket, man, I mean, it's a good week.
It is,
with that limited capacity and all those Alabama fans that are absolutely going to be looking to take it over. But yeah, I think maturity is going to be a big thing you're looking for from this Alabama team. There has been so much of an aftermath from the Georgia win, because it wasn't just a win. It was one of the more amazing games, one of the more memorable games. So people can't help but continue to talk about it.
Right.
And there doesn't seem to be this sense around the Alabama program under Kalen DeBoer of 24-hour rule. It's done. It's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of had carry throughout the week. Now, does that mean there's more than one way that you can do it? Absolutely you can. And so that will be interesting to see from the Alabama perspective, because Vanderbilt rested ready after that disappointing double overtime loss at Missouri a couple Saturdays ago. And that leads me into my second prediction for this Alabama-Vanderbilt game, Brent. Vanderbilt will not score 27 points in the second half on Saturday. That's what we saw from Georgia last Saturday in Tuscaloosa. And, hey, there's no bigger fan of Diego Pavia than me, okay?
Yes.
I've been talking about this guy going back to the offseason with the potential of him becoming the Vanderbilt quarterback. It's played out that way. So I understand this isn't Kyle Shurmur at quarterback for Vandy on Saturday.
Yeah,
it's
really
a different deal with Diego. And I'll say this about Vandy too. I like what offensive coordinator Tim Beck has done with Diego. And it makes sense because he came over with Pavia. So there's a lot of comfort. There's a lot of familiarity with those two. And it shows there's a lot to defend that Vanderbilt throws at you. Full house backfields, triple option in the red zone. Mm-hmm. They'll spread you out, run Diego, unbalanced line looks, screen game, both perimeter and to the back. So you better bring the preparation this week. And this is understanding the comparisons to Johnny Manziel, those things. Even Diego has talked about that. I don't see that exactly. Maybe the biggest reason why I don't is because Diego doesn't have a Mike Evans on the outside Johnny Football had. The point being, it's going to take more than Diego. He's going to have, you know, Cedric Alexander, the running back. Some of these guys are going to have to step up and really help their guy.
Let's carry that out a little further. I'm curious on the other side. What does Womack do, Trav, to limit Diego? I mean, look, this guy's going to get his yards. I'm not saying he'll get 100 yards rushing. I can see him getting 50 or 75 and extending some drives along that way. Do they put a spy on him the whole time? Do they just make sure everybody else is covered and know that within a certain zone that they can kind of keep him in that? I'll be very interested to know as far as what they try to do to limit him and from taking this to a third to fourth quarter game somehow.
Yeah, I think that initially you come out and you're just going to be you on defense.
Yeah.
And you had that luxury because you have linebackers like Deontay Lawson, but probably even more importantly this week, a guy like Jahad Campbell.
Yes.
That can really run and help you against a guy like this. Mm-hmm. Thing about Diego too is it's not just elusiveness and it's not really speed. This guy's an ex-high school wrestler.
Yeah.
So he's hard to tackle. You'll watch him on a weekly basis. You don't think he's going to shake people physically.
Yeah.
And he slings people. So you've got to square this guy up and get him on the field. I think personnel-wise, Alabama has the benefit of that starting with the linebackers.
Right.
But also, as I alluded to earlier, there's not a true big-time wide receiver on this Vanderbilt roster. There were a couple a year ago, but one transferred to Georgia, one transferred to Colorado. So, you know, you can probably, even with everything you gave up and the explosive plays at Georgia last week, you can probably man up against these receivers. Mm-hmm. And if you want to bring a Malachi Moore into the mix or Keon Saab from the safety position, you know, you can probably do more of that. But look, I'm far more excited about this game because of Diego Pavia than I would be otherwise. I think Alabama's going to win the game comfortably. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be by the 23 or more, but Diego's going to keep that thing interesting. And I'll say this for him too. He hadn't turned the ball over a whole lot this season.
True.
Hadn't thrown an interception yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if Alabama can continue that takeaway train from the Georgia game where they took it away four times from the visiting Bulldogs. My final and third prediction for Alabama Vanderbilt, Brent, for the fifth time this season, in other words, 5 for 5, Jalen Milroe will account for 4 or more touchdowns. He's done it in every game to date. And I know you could kind of think about it as, well, you know, it was Western Kentucky. Well, it was South Florida. You know, well, even with it being Wisconsin. But he made Georgia defensively for a lot of that game last Saturday night look like those other teams, which was the most astounding aspect of the whole night for me. You know, he had 12 rushing touchdowns, Brent, in 14 games last season.
Yeah.
He already has 8 in 4 games this season. Tommy Rees, what were you doing, man?
Really?
What were you doing last year?
It wasn't enough. Now, to your point, of what Diego doesn't have around him, Jalen Milroe does have that around him.
Exactly.
As far as receivers and running backs, and again, this improved considerably offensive line. Look, I like all three of your points, and I would say certainly all three of those are at. I think they're apt to happen. I don't think we'll have a 59-0 or anything like that. But I'm with you. I mean, we could see a 35-7 or 14 or something of that nature. I don't know if Bama fans would be happy with that, but or a road win on the conference. In this conference is all that matters.
It is. I do think Alabama is somehow, some way going to probably get into the 40s in scoring in this game. And you also got to take into account special teams too, because Missouri hurt Vandy with the punt return game a couple of Saturdays ago. Right. It's interesting for Alabama because there's been Cole Adams back there. We've seen Ryan Williams, the prodigy back there, return some punts as well. So, you know, that's another area where he can be a big factor in this game as well, if he's the choice back there. But, you know, Vanderbilt's kicker, Brock Taylor, he got off to a really good start this season. Mm-hmm. He missed a 50-yarder with about 3 minutes to go in regulation at Missouri that would have given Vanderbilt the lead there. Right. And then he missed the one to extend it in the second overtime from 31 yards out. So you wonder about the psyche, although, again, I'm not guessing it's going to come down to the kickers